Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us on StashMyComics.com podcast episode number 24. We are powered by Geek Energy. With me today, as always, is Kelly. Kelly, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am amazing. I've got some awesome news. Well, not awesome news, but news nonetheless that I just found out about today on the wonderful internet, and I want to share it with you guys and the rest of our listening audience, but I'm not going to tell you until we get to the new segment.
I am nervous and excited.
I don't cry, though, because...
I can't make that promise.
Next to Kelly is the editor of StashMyComics.com, Jason. How you doing?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Where were you? Why are you late?
I was making fat stacks at the car dealership. I'm not joking. He's a finance guy at the car dealership. Bought some comics off of me.
You have the weight of Wausau, Washington.
We were saying earlier that you got all the money in one.
Well, you know, I am going to a strip club later, so it all works out.
Make it rain. Make it rain.
Hey, I'm on a budget. I make it rain with nickels.
That might be painful to the strippers, just saying, throwing nickels at them.
Oh, they're not people.
Oh, my God.
They're doing that for college, dude. Or maybe to buy comic books.
Yeah, I feel their pain.
Down four on the ladder.
Well, it's possible. You never know. Maybe they're all, like, huge comic fans, and while they're doing what they do, they talk to their customers and... Have you read the new Astonishing X-Men? It's amazing. Oh, my God.
Comic book fans can be strippers, too.
That's right. Comic books don't.
I'm not saying they aren't. I'm just saying that that it's a minority. How about that?
I'm a combination stripper comic book fan. I'm a minority. I'm the 1%.
With that being said, are you guys... I know we as comic book fans read a lot of new series and stuff like that, and we're engrossed in some of the new stuff, but what about the back issues? Are you guys reading any back issue series right now? Kelly?
Actually...
Or Jackson, go ahead.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Let me look at my computer.
Actually, it's funny you should bring that up. I started rereading the Jeff Johns, Mike McCone, Teen Titans that came out in 2003.
Oh, right on.
I started rereading the traits I have of it, so that's been fun. That was always a really good series.
Good, that's good. I started from issue one reading the start of X-Force. And I have to say that with what Leffield did, it was really slow to get going, and the artwork was inconsistent. But as it went on, and believe it or not, Greg Capullo, or Cupolo, whatever the hell his name is, he took over artwork for a year after Leffield, and it's really good. It really makes the series a lot more mature and a lot
better. Wait, so you're saying better art made the book better?
Well, yeah, it's more visually appealing, and with, I can't remember his name, Fabian something or other.
Fabian Nikiza?
Yeah, his storytelling was really good, too. Like, after Leffield left, he used Leffield's plots, but he filled in the rest, like all the spoken word and stuff like that. But his direction with X-Force, at least where I'm at now, I'm on issue number 20, it has turned out to be really good. It's fast-paced, but he's diving a lot more into character development, where Leffield really didn't do a lot of that. And it makes for a better series. And I'm also reading the original run of Shadow Man from Valiant Comics. And I have to say that to start, the first eight or so issues were really slow because Valiant was really big on having each book go a month at a time. Like, they would do something and then a month would pass in the series before the next issue would come out. And that kind of made it a little stagnant because you couldn't really do a whole lot. And after the first couple of issues, they kind of dropped that, and now they're doing more integrated stories, and it really makes it a heck of a lot better there, too. Kelly, are you reading any back issue series?
I'm reading Batman Hush.
Ooh, that's good stuff.
Yeah. I really like it because, I mean, like, well, because I like Jason Todd a lot, so.
Wow. Now, I have to say that when I went to the comic store, I think a week ago, I picked up a couple of trades. I picked up Marvel Zombies 2, which I really loved. I loved the first one, and the second one was equally as good. I picked up Batman Year One, which I had read before, and just dove right into that. I love that. It's one of the best Batman stories I've ever read, next to Hush. And I picked up the trade for the New 52 Aquaman series, which I highly recommend. I was not expecting it to be good at all, and it turned out to be really awesome.
Well, that's awesome for you, Tim. I'm really glad you enjoyed Aquaman.
And his ability to talk to fish.
Yay!
That's so exciting.
Episode 25 coming up. That'll be out in a week or two. Got a lot of things geared up for that. But I want to give kind of a shout out to some of the other articles and stuff out right now that you as listener need to check out. You need to take a look at Scott's new video game review for Dragon Age 2. Really good review, really in depth. Talking about why he liked it and parts of what he didn't like. Comics for Noobs is out right now. If you don't know where to go in comic books, that's a great article to take a look at to get an idea on what to read, maybe what not to read, things of that nature. As always, The Dollar Box by Paul O'Connor. And the Say What series. I'm loving that. I mean, it started off with obscure advertisements in comics, and how Jason Newcomb found some of those is totally beyond my comprehension, because I never thought to look for stuff like that. But Paul's taken it in a really unique direction and taken parts of the comics themselves that make absolutely no sense and has put those in there. Like with the current one, with him not exactly knowing why he switched his name Giant Man to Goliath and then to Yellow Jacket. It makes no sense to me.
That's what happens when you have 40 different writers writing a character.
Well, yeah, it was.
I don't know, maybe those pin particles are messing with his brains.
Too many, too small and too big. So many. Wait. All right, we're way off track. We're right to the news. Got a couple of cool things. Lobo rumored to be in the Justice League movie. Falcon is confirmed for Captain America 2. And something else that I can't wait to tell you guys. We'll be back in just a second.
Stash my comics.
Stash my comics.
Stash my comics.
Powered by Geek Energy.
So, Lobo is confirmed. Well, not. It's rumored going to be in the next Justice League movie. What good idea or not, that kind of rests on the producer's shoulders, but I personally think that to have Lobo in there, he couldn't be a second character. He would have to be almost prime, either as the bad guy or a bad guy halfway through and then, you know, Justice League kind of teams up with him later on. But, Jason, what are your thoughts?
Meh, I guess. I mean, Lobo's, I guess he's a kind of a cool character. He's the character that was pushing the anti-hero thing in the 90s to a ridiculous level to poke fun at it.
Yeah.
But he's always felt more like a... He's a Superman villain first, and then he's not really a villain.
No, he was just kind of like this bounty hunter, this interstellar bounty hunter that...
Yeah, it's just kind of... meh for me. I will say that if he could definitely take on the Justice League just because he's as strong as Superman.
Isn't he, like, completely indestructible or invulnerable?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he's like Superman, basically.
Smokes a cigar, carries around that chain with a big-ass hook at the end of it and says, "Bats in July." Yeah. Kelly, what are your thoughts on that? Lobo possibly being a Justice League movie.
We're less
Get to know who Lobo is.
I do not, not really. I'm not very familiar with this character. I've only, like, heard the name Lobo, but I really know nothing about him. So, I mean, they can do what they want, I guess, because I don't really have an opinion on it.
For the purpose of getting a good idea of who Lobo is, obviously you can hit up Wikipedia, but...
That's what I'm doing right now.
I recommend checking out the Lobo Paramilitary Christmas Special. It was a fan film that was made in the 90s when VHS was phasing out, I did a review of it for Fan Film Friday. You can look that up on a search engine, or if Jason is cool enough, he'll put it up there for you, so you guys can take a look at that. That's a great.
I can't in good conscience make that a featured article. I'm sorry.
It's a good take on who Lobo is and what he does. But moving forward, let's go to our next piece of news. Marvel has confirmed that the Falcon is going to be in Captain America 2, The Winter Soldier. So, Jake, let's get thoughts on that first. What do you think about that? Finally, we have the Falcon. Is that exciting?
Look, Captain America 2, or yeah. Winter Soldier, whatever you want to call it, it just keeps getting better and better. Like, all we knew is the title, Winter Soldier. And it already sounded like the best thing ever. So, adding the Falcon, I'm wondering if they might be trying to throw too much into it, a la Batman and Robin, where they just have to add in extra characters, and I hope that they don't go that route too much.
Personally, I think it's a healthy progression, because with Captain America 2, we're going to finally get the explanation on what happened to Yeah, fell off the train.
And, well, if you've read the comics, you know what happens to Bucky.
But yeah. in the cinematic universe, we're going to get an explanation. And they've also said that they're going to have Baron Zemo in Captain America 2 as well. He was honestly one of my favorite Captain America villains. I remember seeing him more so than the Red Skull when I was reading Captain
America. I could never get past his goofy purple costume.
He's awesome, though. Like
it's goofy.
He's like
with his purple mask with the lines on it. Yeah, that's goofy.
But anyway,
well, they won't make it goofy in the movie because like they tried to make everything very grounded in reality, like they did with the Captain America costumes, like in the movie. So
right on.
It's not
really
yeah.
Everybody was grounded in reality with the Avengers movie.
As grounded as you can be for.
Grounded enough. It has to be grounded enough to be believable, but not so realistic that you feel like you're not watching a superhero movie.
Right. So it's going to be Anthony Mackie. He was in The Hurt Locker and The Adjustment Bureau. He is confirmed for the role of Sam Winston, also known as the Falcon. So I think it's a pretty good idea. I like I said, I think it's healthy progression. It's going to be great to have him not as a sidekick for Captain America, but as someone to fight alongside him, because that's pretty much how he came about in the comic books. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he didn't come in as a sidekick. He came in as a partner.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
But then again, I mean, the book's called Captain America and the Falcon, and it's Batman and Robin. I mean, he might not be a quote-unquote sidekick, but... That's his role.
I just hope they go with green and orange costume. I want to see more the Civil War type outfit that he had, the white and red with the huge wings.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably go with the one that looks more realistic there.
The one more.
I really hope they don't put his bird in the movie. Because that thing is.
What
yeah.
if like a falconeer and that's his job in Harlem?
The falcon is like the Aquaman of.
of the
monster. He can talk to the bird.
Yeah. So, Kelly, final thoughts on that? What do you think about that? Falcon in Captain America 2?
I think it makes sense. I mean, he was in Winter Soldier, the Winter Soldier arc in the comic, so it makes sense. Honestly, I'm sold whatever they do, because I'm like, ooh, Captain America, Chris Evans, I'll go see that again. Yeah.
Wow. Jason, final thought?
It's definitely the Marvel movie I'm looking the most forward to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Curious about Guardians of the Galaxy, but like you said, the more they release about Captain America, the more it just sounds like it's going to be absolutely epic.
Pretty much.
Okay, so this is the news article that I want to talk about. This is the one that I think is going to get Jaws to drop or Fist.
Oh God, I'm so nervous.
Balls and stuff like that. So, Marvel has given their solicitations for December on comic book resources. And they put something in there that Spider-Man fans may or may not like. So what's going to happen is with issue number 700 of The Amazing Spider-Man, they're going to cancel the series. And they're going to with Marvel.
Okay, I'm still waiting for this surprising news you were talking about.
It's the surprise.
Yeah.
That was so horrendous for me to read. I was like, oh my God, really?
Yeah, but you were you really that surprised by it? I mean, this is Marvel. Look, they cancel books after 30 issues and reboot them three minutes later.
It's ridiculous.
They don't care.
It's ridiculous. This will, after 700, I think I'll pick up issue one of the reboot, and I think I'll be done. After that.
Well, yeah, that issue number one is going to sell like hotcakes. They gotta, you know, drop it and then start it up again.
See if
give it about 40 issues and they'll go back to the old numbering.
See, that's ridiculous. There's no point to do, and I'll tell you why. If you look at it, Quesada is the mastermind behind this, and I want to steamroll him with steamroll because it's
Tim,
what?
Give me tell you why they're doing it.
Well, I know why they're doing it. It's because of the success with 52, the success of Phase 1 of the Marvel Cinematic films.
Well, it's not even that. Just pull out your wallet, look inside. That's why they're doing it. It's so
money.
They can sell that number one issue. They can slap a $4.99 price tag on it. They'll sell, you know, 100,000 copies, and they'll be happy.
Well, let's look at it though. Like, they canceled the series for Amazing Spider-Man at 441. Is that right, or 442?
Like that, yeah.
And then they restarted back at number one, and they went to 50 or so, and then they brought it back to the original numbering. That made no sense to me. Why restart it if you're just going to go back to the original numbering after so far in the series? Is it because enough
money?
That's
money. Number ones, man, money. People, Spider-Man number one. That's why.
Yeah, but look at that. How much is that number one issue really worth?
Oh, you mean the McFarlane one?
No. The Amazing Spider-Man. When they
the original number one?
The recent,
like the 60s?
No.
That one goes for like, I don't know, $10-$12.
Exactly. That's not a high price.
That's not the point though. That's the secondary market. That's the collector's market. I'm talking about at the time, they saw a ton of those books. It's like they'll sell a ton of the Amazing Spider-Man number ones because people that don't know anything about Spider-Man going in that story, they're like, oh look, Spider-Man number one, I can jump off this. 700 is imposing. Well, number one isn't.
Kelly, dive into this with me. Is that really a smart move, though, on Marvel's part? Not in a money aspect, like what you say, Jason, But in a story aspect, I mean, canceling it at number 700. 700 is a milestone on its own. But DC did that with all of their titles. I mean, Action Comics was on the path to hit issue number 1,000. Batman was heavy into the 800s. Detective Comics was fast on that track, too, along with several other series. And they cut them for the New 52. Now, the New 52 has, in varying opinions, was a success or a failure. But with this, with Marvel now, I mean, they initially confirmed certain titles that were launching. And Jason, you weren't too happy about the fact that they were canceling Uncanny X-Men again. But Kelly, is it a smart move, not financially, but story-wise, to cut it at 700 and restart it again at number one?
Well, is that, I mean, 700 is a lot of issues. And I mean, because they already set that they're going to stop at 700, that does give them time to, like, round out and end the story. So, I mean, I don't know how good it would be for the story overall, but I mean, like, they could at least have a definitive end to it because they know they're going to stop at 700.
All I gotta say is Marvel now better be expletive deleted awesome.
Hey Tim, if it makes you feel better when you buy number one, take a pen and write 70 in front of it.
I mean, it is a smart move on their part because of the movies, like, Marvel is gaining such a huge fan base.
Yeah, but
it's really smart for them to do a reboot.
Are they losing the core fans in the process? The ones that stuck through Brand New Day and stuck through the Clone Wars and stuck through everything else that Marvel has done that has not been a good idea. I mean, they've had more great ideas than they have bad ideas, but I think that this is going to alienate a lot of people.
I'm going to go out
on
a limb.
It can be. But, I mean, I think it can be alienating, but I mean, honestly, I think people who are comic book lovers now are still going to continue to buy comic books. I mean, and they're probably going to pick up maybe the first, like, 6 or 7 issues anyway, so they're still making that money from them.
Well, Jason, are you going to buy it? Are you going to go buy the number one? Are you going to stick with it?
Well, I'm not picking it up now. I'll probably just buy the number one just to have it because, you know, it's going to shoot up in price as soon as it goes, like, its 18th printing. And it's going to go to, like, 6 printings.
We know that.
Your point about are they alienating older readers, I'm going to go out on a limb and say they don't care. Marvel's wanting to go all digital. They don't care about printing anymore, hardly. I mean, for the most part. They go all digital, get everything on digital, then, you know, they're already trying to push out on their older fan base to begin with.
See, and that, I think, is the biggest mistake that Marvel can make, is if they alienate and push out their older fan base, the people like me or people that are older than me or like you, Jason, that remember the stuff from the 90s and even the 80s and heavily collect that stuff. You know, we're still fans of the series today, and that helps with the writers and the artists that they've had on Spider-Man up to current. But the editorial process or the CEO, the Joe Quesada, I think his ideas are not sound because Brand New Day was a terrible idea, and he had to fix that with one moment in time. And now Marvel now... You and I both, Jason, that is a terrible idea, and I don't. I think that this is just another addition to that list of terrible ideas.
And I'm not saying it's. I'm not saying it's a good idea. It's a good idea from a money-making standpoint. I'm thinking that, but.
Well, yeah, but.
I'm not surprised by it, like apparently you were.
I was totally shocked about this when I saw that. I was like, really? Come on. I was not happy. I'm still not happy. But, all right, We're going to cut it for a second. When we come back, we're going to hit up the pull list. Jason chose Astonishing X-Men Ghost Boxes number 2, and I chose The Question number 1. We'll let you know what we think of that when we come back after.
All right, I'm just going to take a quick look at what's on my pull list. What's this music? What's going on?
Coming this fall on NBC.
What?
A new reality series.
What the hell?
Geek Intervention.
What are you doing in my house?
He was hooked. Addicted. To a website.
I'm not addicted to StashMyComics.com.
He couldn't stop cataloging his comic books.
I can stop.
He couldn't stop writing member reviews.
I can stop. I have to go to work.
Locked in a spiral of self-destruction.
It's not...
Inching closer to death with each passing second.
Oh my god. Why are you playing that music?
Wednesdays on NBC.
Well, I'm not watching because Wednesday night is comic book night.
Oh, really?
Yes, really, yes.
Well, is the new Walking Dead out this week?
Yeah, I'm actually going to the comic book shop now. It's, do you want a ride or something?
Well, if you're going that way, I guess.
All right, let's go. Well, I'm going now.
Geek Intervention, Wednesdays on NBC.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are at the pull list. These are the two comic books that we chose for the week that we suggest you read or don't read. First off, I want to talk about The Question, number 1 from DC Comics. Written by Dennis O'Neill, artwork by Dennis Cohen. If anybody doesn't know who The Question is, it's really quite simple. You have this character, Victor Zsasz, who works in tandem with a scientist / philosopher type friend of his, and he goes out in Hub City, which is totally corrupt, just like Gotham City is, and he fights crime to try and bring the city back to what it used to be. But with this first issue, it starts off setting the tone for basically what the entire series, in my opinion, is all about. You have Victor, who is the Question, standing outside this shack in the middle of a rainstorm, and he busts in and beats the crap out of these guys looking for a videotape to expose a corrupt politician in Hub City, which he, after he beats up the guys, he takes the tape and he takes it to the television station where he works as a reporter, puts it on there and exposes the guy, and it sets in motion all kinds of things that happened to him over the course of the 38 issues that the series was. Jason, let's go ahead and start with you. What are your thoughts on The Question number 1?
This is going to be kind of offensive, but boring.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Lord. Look, I really like the feel, but this dialogue was just, it was like needles on a chalkboard, or fingernails on a chalkboard. I mean, it was boring, it was wooden. It really dated itself just for the kind of things they were saying.
It did.
It was a tour just to get through the first issue. The art, I really love the art. It just wasn't. It just wasn't enough to keep the story entertaining.
Now, see, with me, I thought that this was a great way to start the series. You know, it may not seem like it now, but like I said before, everything builds off of this issue. It starts off slow for the series itself, but as the series progresses, each issue gets progressively better. Out of the entire series that I read, I didn't read a bad issue, including this one. With this one in particular, me personally, I thought O'Neill's story was really good. I thought Cohen's artwork was awesome, and that gets progressively better as the story moves forward. Kelly, what did you think about The Question number 1?
I don't really like it that much. I thought the artwork was great. Props to that, but I didn't really like the way they told the story. I felt like I was being, like, jumped around too much. I thought it was kind of dull, especially for something that was that seemed like a very, like, film noir-esque. I was like, this is really not exciting.
Yeah, it definitely had that type of attitude to it. But O'Neill, like, with his stuff on Batman, that was really, really well done. And I think that he took the question and really made it his own. Because Batman is kind of an established character. You have to go a certain way with him. You can't veer too much off the beaten path. But with a character like The Question that nobody really knows about, and at a time when this came out, that's when Watchmen was getting ready to come out, and you had Alan Moore trying to use The Question as what eventually became Rorschach. But you see bits of that, I personally think, in what O'Neill does.
One other thing, I'm not a fan of opening a story and saying 25 hours until Victor Zsasz is dead.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, thanks for telling me how it is.
I can see that. I can see how that can be.
It tells you that, and it's 24 hours until he dies, and then he gets shot at the end of the spoilers. Get shot at the end of the issue. Like, that would have been so much better if I didn't know something was going to happen at the beginning.
Right, but I think if you can get through this first issue and make it to the second one, that really makes for a great way to start the series. And with that, I mean, for me, that totally had me intrigued. Like, how in the hell is he going to survive this? He got shot in the head. They even said so. They said his brains were pouring out of the back of his head. How is he going to survive this? What's going to happen? That made me want to read the second.
Well, go ahead and tell me. How did he come back?
Oh. I can't remember. I'll have to read the whole series again.
I mean, I thought that was an interesting concept, but I just thought it was very poorly executed. I mean, like, that was the only part I found really interesting. I was like, oh, I like the way they started it, and then I was like, wow, not hype at all.
It kind of went nowhere. There were two references to when he was going to die and nothing.
Yeah.
You're going to do a ticking clock countdown, it needs to be on every page.
So let's, excuse me, let's get final thoughts. Kelly, we'll start with you. Overall grade 1 through 10, what do you give The Question number 1?
Probably a 5, mostly for the art and cool idea, but it just wasn't executed well.
Okay, fair enough. Jason, 1 through 10, what would you give The Question number 1?
5. It's still better than Max Butter Drive.
I wouldn't go that far. Maximum Overdrive is a pinnacle in cinematic history.
It's the pinnacle of something.
Me, personally, I give The Question an overall 8 out of 10. Cohen's artwork is harsh, it's jagged, it's perfect for this series. It helps to set a visual tone for Hub City with Cohen and O'Neill's words. They make an awesome team, and I think that if people can make it through this first issue or be as intrigued as I was about the first issue, the rest of the series does not let down. I mean, it's exciting, it's really in-depth, and you get to see The Question really progress and grow as a character. And this right here, this first issue, is just the start of that. But let's move on. Let's go ahead and go to our second comic book. Astonishing X-Men, Ghost Boxes number 2. Jason, go ahead and tell us what this is about.
It relies on the Ghost Boxes storyline. Astonishing X-Men, basically two alternate versions of the event that happened in Astonishing X-Men Ghost Boxes, if they had taken different choices when they made them. It's basically an Elseworlds deal for Marvel.
Okay. Right on. So let's go ahead and get your thoughts on Ghost Boxes number 2. What did you think about it?
I loved it. I'm going to preface it by saying I'm a real big fan of dystopian future stories.
I love Days of Future Past. Hulk Future Perfect is really great. It's part of the reason why I like zombie movies so much. It's just because I like seeing how the world is after something happens.
See, that's the thing that I was confused about. What happened?
It's a long story. The triplicate mutants, they were from a different, parallel Earth, and they opened up portals into our Earth and basically annexed our planet.
Okay.
It's basically because their Earth was such a hell that it was better for them to come here.
See, and Scott Summers, in his dialogue, he talks about that a little bit, but I don't think that...
Like I said, it relies on the story from watching X-Men Ghostboxes. And I think that just because of what happens in the stories, not so much... Like, it could have been anything that happened, but I just like the events that take place during.
Right on. Absolutely. So... This book is done in two parts. The first
one... The two parts are tied into the Astonishing X-Men Ghostboxes arc from the main Astonishing X-Men.
Right, absolutely.
The first one is called The Last Testament of Scott Summers.
First part, yeah, of issue two.
And the second part of issue two is simply called Four. With my thoughts on that, I mean, part one, the artwork totally blew me away on that. The story itself is disheartening. It's really sad, you know?
I
want to know more about what happened up to the end with Scott Summers. You know, that makes me want to go back and read the other stuff. You know, there's not near enough... explanation, and I'm craving that. I caught the story at the end, the last 10 minutes of the movie, and I want to find out what happened for the 80 minutes before that. The artwork's beautiful. It's just too damn short. That's the only problem I had with that. Kelly, let me get your thoughts on that. Ghostboxes number two, what'd you think?
I did like it. I thought the artwork was beautiful. I like that it's sad. I really like sad stories. I don't know why. I guess I'm just a masochist. But, I mean, as like the comic book issue, I mean, it does come across as a little dull and a little boring. But, I mean, if you knew, I guess, like Jason said, like, you have to know the context, which, I mean, that's not something I really knew. But, I mean, I do like that it was more introspective.
Right on. So out of the two parts that were there, did you like one more than the other?
I think I like the first part better.
The first part? You know,
yeah.
I enjoyed the first part. Well, enjoy is kind of a bad word. I was sad through the first part. But the second part with Wolverine, I think, was equally, if not maybe a little bit better. Because, I mean, the way that it was written... the way that Warren Ellis wrote that second part, it made it sound like Wolverine had just totally lost it at that time. You know, like he was seeing things that weren't there, like when they were going past that down jet and he thought that he saw Colossus half.
He did.
Well, yeah.
That was Colossus. You could see the pedal.
But did Gene and did Hank McCoy see that too?
Well, it was Gene. Oh, that was Hisako, armor. Oh. Pushing him around, that was armor. Well, they saw it, but at that point, Hisako didn't really know him, and Beast was a child.
Yeah, he had whatever had happened to him in that confrontation. Was it the confrontation between him and Wolverine with the three claws across his face?
It was something beforehand that they don't give up into.
See, that's what I want to know. I want to know all that.
Well, you're not going to get that explanation.
I need it, though.
Well, yeah. So, well, I guess.
Well, then I'm a dissatisfied customer.
I just really like Cyclops' explanation of his abilities.
Yeah, that...
His abilities come in three.
that
it's a 3-4. He gets the eye blast. He can see angles, and he has a certain degree of immunity to his own abilities. I just thought it was really cool that he uses powers to kill himself.
Yeah. Spoiler.
It's been out for about 10 years.
They were both good stories, and it really made me want to read the other stuff that led up to that. I really want to get that story in to see what happened. So, Kelly, let's go with you. Final thoughts on Astonishing X-Men Ghost Boxes number 2, 1 through 10. What do you give it?
I'll give it a 7. The artwork was amazing, and it was really interesting, but it's just like as a standalone issue, it's not very exciting.
I don't think I would have gone with exciting. I think I would have said a little more confusing if you didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, Jason, final thoughts on Astonishing X-Men Ghost Boxes number 2, 1 through 10. What do you give it?
An 8. Very solid 8. I want to ask you guys, when they get part of the Wolverine story, when they say that Wolverine had them cook up the flesh that Beast cut off of him, any of you did either of you go, "Oh, that's a really good idea"?
No.
Well, he's gonna grow it back.
He didn't though. Like he had that whole chunk of his face gone.
Wolverine?
That Beast.
Oh, well, okay. Did you go think that's what they should do for Arena? Just like you cutting chunks off of them because it would just grow back?
Then they would have been cannibals, and that would have been...
Hey, man, dystopian future, you do what you do.
Okay, final thoughts for me. I will give this an 8.5, and that's a really heavy 8.5. If I knew more about what was happening, I think if I had read the stuff before, it would have got a 10 out of me. The artwork overall I give it a 9 for both stories because the artwork for both stories really fit. I recommend picking this issue up or at least starting to read the Ghost Box storyline and then finishing it off with this. So, all right, we're going to take a break for a second, but when we come back, we're going to hit up some trivia. Kelly, spur of the moment, has some trivia for us. We'll be back in just a second. StashMyComics.com, powered by Geek Energy. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are at trivia. Kelly, you've got trivia for us this week, don't you?
Yes.
All right, great. We need to go over some rules, though, before we get into the trivia. Number one, you have to be a registered member of StashMyComics.com to qualify. So if you're not a registered member, go right up to the upper right-hand corner of the screen where it says log in or register. Click on that. It takes a couple of seconds to do that, and then you're in like Flynn. Number two, when you enter your answer, you must also put your username on the forms underneath your answer so we can notify you via private message. That's the only way it'll work. If you don't do that, then your answer won't count, and we'll go on to the first correct answer. Number three, anyone that is an admin in any form on Stash My Comics or that works directly with a podcast is not eligible to play. So, Tom, since you're not here, that doesn't mean you get to play trivia. So, if you miss out. Number four, first correct answer wins. Once we have a correct answer, it will be noted on the comments section of that podcast, and the winner will be notified via private message. And the last rule, if no winner is found before the airing of next week's podcast, then the prize is forfeit, and we move on to the next week. Also, let's not forget the Two Guns Initiative. If you win on one podcast, the next week's podcast, you are not eligible to play. But after that, you're back in the game. So with that, Kelly, what do you have for us this week?
Okay, so if you didn't already know, Kick-Ass 2 has started filming. So I'm super excited about that. So if you've read the comics, you'll know the answer to this question. Ravnus changes his supervillain name in Kick-Ass 2 comic books. What does he change it to?
I honestly have no idea.
I know, because I actually read the comic.
See, so I don't know. I've read the first Kick-Ass, but I have not read Kick-Ass 2.
Well, then you definitely should do that, because it's only 7 issues.
I'll do it after I watch Supernatural.
Oh, that's going to take a lot longer, but yeah. Supernatural takes precedence over everything.
Go. All right, we're going to take a break for a second. We're going to let you guys wrap your brains around that. But when we come back, we're going to hit up the weekly distraction. Old fans and new fans. Why the hostility? Kelly's got a lot to say about this. We'll hear what she's got to say after this.
Geek Hotline, how may I help you?
Hello. I was looking for a solution on how to better track my comic book collection. I've been using memory and pen and paper for a while, but it's not really working out well for me. What can you suggest?
That's a very good question, sir. I'll have to consult my fax machine.
I don't understand.
Excuse me, sir. I'm going to have to ask you to stay quiet while I concentrate in order to better serve you. Since you broke my concentration, I'm going to have to go over to my next machine here.
Why are you using Morse code? I think I better call back another time.
I'm afraid I'm not getting any answer to your question here. Let me just move over to this next piece of technology that I have.
Is that a foghorn? Am I hearing a foghorn?
Excuse me, sir. I'm sorry. I can't get the answer to your question at this time. But if I can ask you to hold the line, please, I will get that answer for you as quickly as possible. Thank you.
Did he just drive off? Heck with it. I'll just use stashmycomics.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are at the weekly distraction. Forget the fact that The Amazing Spider-Man ends at issue 700. I think that's pretty lame. Forget the fact that Captain America 2 is getting ready to film. Thor 2 is in the process of filming, and there's some really awesome set pictures that you need to go look at. Forget the fact that DC is in the midst of their zero issues for the new 52. We are at the weekly distraction. This is what you will be talking about for the rest of the week. Old fans and new fans of comic books. Why the hostility? Kelly, why did you choose this?
Well, this is something... Well, I go on Tumblr, and there's fandom drama all the time, every day of my life. And this is something that I see a lot of, especially now that, like, the Avengers have come out, and people are very excited about the Avengers, and people like to talk about it a lot on Tumblr. So people have started, like, getting into the comic book world because of the movies, which I don't have a problem with. But a lot of older fans apparently see this as a threat or something. I don't know why. But they get very hostile towards a lot of the newer fans.
Jason, what thoughts do you have on this? Old fans and new fans.
Well, anytime that there are new fans coming in, it's good for the industry. I think I've said it before on the podcast that if we could get younger women to read comics, it would help save the print industry aspect of comic books, just because you've got basically an untapped market out there that, for the most part, no offense, Kelly, does not read comic books. I get the hate that older fans have for younger, that for newer fans to the genre, to the medium, because, like I said earlier, Tim, that they're changing a lot of things with the way their comics are because of the success of the movie. Well, that you said that they're alienating fans that have been around for a while. Well, that's because you've got all the new fans that are trying to get in, and you can't start at issue 700. You want to start at issue 1.
Right, but see, my whole thing with this is I consider myself an old fan. I mean, I've been around long enough. I was reading X-Men during the Claremont era. I read Spider-Man when he was still in the 200s. You know, and I was a new fan once, you know, coming in the middle of storylines and not knowing where the hell to go or what to do as far as where I should go in the comic books. But, I mean, I think that with new fans, it's always great to have new people come in to something that you love so much, especially a medium like this. I mean, it's perfect because as an old fan, you should be the one that should say, hey, you're into Spider-Man now because of the movie that came out this year. That's awesome. You need to check this out. You need to check this out. You need to check this out. Don't worry about picking up the issues. Pick up the trades. That's a great way to get people integrated into what's going on now. As far as hostility goes or anything like that, I think that's ridiculous. There's no reason for anybody to be aggressive. It's comic books. I mean, come on. They're aggressive inside the pages, so we don't have to be. You know?
Yeah, it can be a little disconcerting for newer fans because they want someone to, like older fans, to like show them where to go because they're like, hey, I want to get into comic books, but like, where do I start? Because there's just so many and it can be very overwhelming for newer fans. And to have people being like, oh, you're only in it for the movies and you only know about the movies and you're so ignorant, like, to belittle you and to think that you are less of a fan just because you started liking the movies before you read the comic books. It's just, it doesn't make you feel very welcoming to this new fan circle.
No, and I mean, Jason, how would you react to somebody that is new to Green Lantern? I mean, because of the movie. Granted, the movie wasn't that great, but let's just say for the sake of argument that was the reason why somebody was like, oh, Green Lantern, I want to check out some more stuff. Would you be a total jerk to them, or would you send them on the path of Rebirth or Blackest Night?
In your hypothetical scenario, someone said, I really love Green Lantern movie. I want to collect comics. First, I'd be like, why did you love the Green Lantern movie? And then I'd see what they were interested in reading. Like, do you just want the story of the movie? Do you want to read everything from, you know, as far back as you can get, that you can pick it up? You know, I'd try to figure out what they wanted and then point them in the right direction of, oh, okay, so you basically just want to read Hal Jordan. Well, here, pick up Rebirth and start there. If you want to go back further into the 90s, you can pick up all the Kyle Rayner stuff, still in trade, and, you know, read that. But, no, I mean, I'm never a jerk to someone who wants to read comics. It doesn't make sense. Look, I'm all about the industry surviving. If one more person starts buying comics, except for Tom not buying comics.
And in order for the industry to survive, you have to have that cycle of new fans coming in every so often. I mean, like, storylines will make people drop books, and then that sends the old fans out, makes room for the new fans. You know, the Clone Saga, which I talked about when we were talking about the end of Amazing Spider-Man, which I'm still really raw about, or the Brand New Day stuff, you know, or anything like that. You know, old fans leave, makes room for new fans, because somebody had to have enjoyed those, or that was their starting point. And Brand New Day, as bad of an idea as it was, I can see how that would have been a great starting point for new fans to read. But in the sense of the old fans, it's also a great example of how the industry, or that company in specific, alienated 20 years of history. You know, they're like, okay, so we don't want Spider-Man or Peter Parker and Mary Jane to be married anymore, so we're just going to erase that, and we're going to erase everything else that happened from here to there, so none of that matters anymore.
Well, okay, look, the comic book world, like, the fans and everything, we've never been the most, as a whole, we've never been the most inviting of crowds, or, you know, outside people.
That's true.
Look at just comic book shops for that. Look, they're all very, for the most part, they're not in the best parts of the town. They're usually a little dark. There's all kinds of books everywhere.
You make it sound like it's the start of a really bad horror movie.
I mean, I love going to comic book stores. But I'm going down to North Carolina tomorrow. I have plans to get a 7 of them. We've never been the most inviting to outside people, and we've never really tried. So I think it goes to a lot of fans that don't have a lot of social skills.
Right. Okay. I understand what you're saying, and anybody that's listening now can think of an instance when they've gone to a comic book store and there's that one guy that just kind of looks at you like you don't even belong there, even though you've been reading and collecting for 5-10 years or whatever, and you know as much, if not more, than that. Well, maybe not more than that dude does, because that guy probably knows a lot more than you do. But you know what I'm talking about. There's always that one dude that's in there scanning through the dollar bins and complaining about non-essential stuff. You know what I'm saying?
That Amazing Spider-Man's getting canceled.
At issue 700. Oh my
that
god.
That sounds like you, Tim, scanning through dollar boxes, fighting about Spider-Man.
Well,
that guy probably goes and watches Maximum Overdrive.
But I don't look at people when they come into the comic book store and be like, "You nasty person! How dare you come into my inner sanctum, my place of worship, my
your sanctum sanctorum."
That's right. How dare you come in here? How dare you scan through those boxes of dollar comic books or 4 for $1 a day on Saturdays? How dare you pick those up and give them to your grubby children? You know what? I'm glad my 8-year-old son is as excited and as hungry for these books as I am now. He's a new fan. Granted, he doesn't stick with linear stories or anything like that, and he'll read one issue and be like, "Wow, that was pretty good." And then he'll read another issue that I know is total crap, and he'll be like, "Wow, that was pretty good too." Well, Billy, why'd you like it? Because the art's cool. Okay. But he's 8, so, you know. But I can understand that. I can see why there would be hostility there. Because when you think of a comic book fan, you know, do you not have a preconceived notion of what that person should look like?
Sure. It's the comic book guy off of Simpsons.
Yeah. Or a guy with glasses, pocket protector, you know.
I don't know about that.
Like what Weird Al looks like in the White and Nerdy video. X-Men comics, you know I collect them.
Yep.
Am I alone on that? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you're alone on that.
As I am with Maximum Overdrive, but I trek on.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to lay that joke to rest on episode 25. That's the grand finale episode. We're laying to rest the Maximum Overdrive joke, and we're going to move on to Mystery Men and Night at the Roxbury. But anyways, sticking with this.
I understand the hostility that older fans have for newer fans. I get it. I just think it's misdirected. Like, you shouldn't be pissed at the people that are coming in because of the movies and the comics are changing because of it. You should be pissed at the company for doing that, for catering to what historically has been a quick buck.
Right.
Like when Batman came out in the 90s and 80s, 90s, you had a ton of people that went and bought comics, and there was a boom for that falls off. So I understand the hostility. I just think it's misdirected.
Okay, Kelly, what else do you have to say about this?
There's just so much to say. I guess it just gets very tiring to see all this for me, because like I have to deal with it every day, like people being like, catty to other people and being like, oh, you don't know anything, you've only seen the movies. And it's just, it's very petty to be like, I'm a better fan than you because I have more knowledge than you. And like, and this isn't just comic books, this is like every fandom. Like Supernatural is like, oh, you've only seen like you've only seen stuff with cats in it, and now you're watching Supernatural. It's like you don't know anything, blah blah blah. Like it's like it's everything.
For the Doctor Who fans.
Yeah, it will be like, oh, you haven't seen Christopher Eccleston's season. Like, what's wrong with you? Or you haven't seen classic Doctor Who. What's wrong with you?
See,
or,
I must be sheltered from all of this because the comic store that I go to here in town is really cool about welcoming new people in, and they'll be more than happy to direct you to any trades or issues or comics or things like that you're asking about. Hey, is this any good? Well, yeah, it's good, yada yada yada. You start talking about it. Here, check this out, you should read it, tell me what you think about it. Not, you're such a loser, how can you not know about this? Ugh, I can't believe you're even in my show.
Well, people are nice in real life. No one's going to say anything to you in real life. It's just all on the internet, and everyone's going to be an asshole to you on the internet. That's just how it is.
I have heard stories of people going into stores and the owner basically telling them that they don't know anything, or the people that work in the counter telling them they don't know anything. You know, why do you like this character? Why do you want to read that character? He sucks. And really, that's just losing you business.
Well, now,
if you're working at the store, you should be trying everything to get people to buy as much as they can.
And see, and on that aspect too, Jason, you and I have talked about that. There's a store like that here in town too, and when you go in there, you just get this vibe, and even when you talk to the guy at the counter, you get this vibe like you are this insignificant nothing. How dare you come into this comic store? Yeah, I'll take your money, but you're a tard for even listening to or for even trying to read any of this. You don't know anything about it. I don't like stuff like that, and that makes me not want to shop at a store like that or be around people like that, because that's ridiculous. It reminds me of a time when I was playing Magic the Gathering. For anybody that doesn't know, Magic the Gathering is the best collectible card game in the history of the world, and if you don't play it, you're a loser. But oh, sorry guys. But anyways, I was playing cards with my friends at a store, and they had this area in the back where they had those long conference tables or those long lunch tables that they had in school. They had those down two rows of like six tables, and a bunch of people were playing cards, and I was sitting there playing. But as we're playing cards, there's this guy kind of surveying each table, and he's looking around, and he's checking things out. And you can tell what he's doing. He's seeing who's good and who's not good, and who knows what they're doing and who doesn't know what they're doing. Well, at that point, I had been playing Magic for 10 years religiously. I had thousands of dollars invested into the game, and I had my decks tweaked to
$1,000.
You better believe it. And I was smoking then too, so you can imagine that. But as he's surveying the crowd and everybody else, he makes his way over to our table, and I'm sitting there, and the deck that I was playing is it's a grindstone deck, and anybody that plays Magic will know what I'm talking about. It doesn't deal a single point of damage to you. The whole point of the deck is to whittle your library down to where you have no cards, because if you can't draw, then you can't play. And it has such a defense to protect me from anything that you do. But anyways, he finally hovers around us for a little bit, and I beat that guy, and he sits down. And he looks at me and he goes, so you're pretty good, huh? I was like, well, you know, I'm okay. I'm not the best, but I think I'm all right. And he goes, I bet you I can make a deck in 5 minutes and beat you with it. I was like, really? Okay, go ahead. And he's like, we'll use that deck. I was like, okay. So he does that. He goes out to his car and he comes back with this box of cards and he sits down with it and he constructs this deck, and I sit there patiently waiting. I shuffle my cards and I get everything set up. I offer him a cut. He takes it and does the same thing. And the game begins. As the game progresses, my deck works as efficiently as it's supposed to. I mean, I get cards out there that prevent him from doing combat, and I counter all of his spells and stuff like that, and I eventually whittle his deck down to nothing. He looks at me in frustration, and he's like, let me do that again. I was like, okay, you know, you do whatever you gotta do. And I sat there, and I shuffled my cards, ready to go again. He made another deck. And the same thing happened. I countered his spells, got it to where he couldn't attack me, couldn't do any damage to me, whittled his deck down to nothing, and then that was it. And after the end of that, you know, he got up, he grabbed all of his cards, and he huffed and puffed the whole time while he was doing that. Oh, you know, my decks just weren't working good, da-da-da, it's just not a good day. I was like, dude, you built those in 5 minutes. What do you expect? Oh, well, you know, I've been to tournaments, I've been this, I've been that, you know. And he was coming up with every reason but the real reason why he lost, and it's because he was a jerk, and because he thought that he was a better player and a better person because he had more cards and all that stuff. But the point is that falls right in line with what we're talking about now, old fans and new fans. That guy thought that I was somebody that he could just sit there and beat real quick, and he found out that he was wrong twice.
Awesome magic story, bro.
Yeah, I'm telling that one. And I also like to tell the one of where I played that same deck when I was thoroughly inebriated and still won. And I don't know how I did it. That's not part of this story. But anyways, let's go ahead and get some final thoughts on this. Jason, give me your final thoughts on old fans and new fans. What do you think about it?
I think we just need to get along. There's enough story out there for everyone.
Late Rod said it right.
Why can't we all just get along?
There you go. There you go. Kelly, final thoughts?
We all are here to like the same thing. Everyone is a fan, and no fan is better than any other fan.
There you go. That couldn't have been said better. And I thoroughly agree with that. I mean, we as fans need to welcome new fans into the medium that we enjoy and that we love and that we're very passionate about. And we need, if they're fans of just the cinematic universe, that's great. Marvel's putting out stuff that specifically ties into the cinematic universe. Point them in that direction. That will eventually bring them back. The stuff that we read and the stuff that we enjoy. If they're still fans of movies and they come, but they want to know about the older stuff, that's great. Hand some trades that you're not reading anymore, or let them borrow some. I mean, that's perfect to bring people into this. And with that, we're going to cut it short. We've been going on a little too long. My man took a little longer than it should have. But, ladies, we do have episode 25 that's coming next week. You guys do not want to miss that. That's totally awesome, totally epic, totally amazing. We're going to be doing some great stuff for trivia. Lots of people are going to be very happy about that, so you need to stick around for that. Don't forget to check out our merchandise store, Zazzle.com, Zazzle.com /StashMyComics. We got t-shirts, hats, we got everything that you need there. Bumper stickers, you need to get one. You know you want one. You know you want one on the back part that says StashMyComics.com, powered by Geek Energy. You know you want that t-shirt to strut around at your college campus or at work and be like, oh, check it out, I'm wearing StashMyComics.com. What are you wearing? Lame shirt. There you go. That's what needs to be
done. Make sure you do that.
Yeah,
I'll make sure I strut around my college with it.
I'd do it. I'll go around the University of Tennessee with a shirt like that on, show everybody the awesomeness that is Stash My Comics. Also, don't forget to check out some of the articles that we have going on right now. Crowdfunding Flash is always great to take a look at. Really finds some awesome things that you need to be a part of. Right now, it's Don't Panic, the 15th Anniversary Anthology. Take a look at that. say what is up right now. Things from comics you won't believe exist. We're on number 83, so you need to look at that, too. Don't forget to take a look at the video game reviews. Right now it's Dragon Age 2. Find out what Scott Shea thought about that. Also, we have Comics for Noobs. Tommy Lutz does that, and you need to look at that, too. That's perfect for the new fan to take. If you don't know where to go, you're standing at the door, and you can go left or right or behind. Comics for Noobs will help you with that. Also, another thing you need to take a look at is we've got another podcast. Not this podcast, but we have Apes for Comics podcast. That's hosted by Stash My Comics. Matt, our producer, is venturing out on his own. He's doing a podcast, and it's really good. It's all about comic books, not about movies, not about video games, not about toys. It's straight comics, and you need to check it out. It's really good, really awesome, great to listen to. Man does a fantastic job with that, so take a look at that, guys, please. Jason, is there anything else you want to add to that?
Nope.
Gonna tag him. Gonna give us a good tagline for the end. So I'm just gonna say, have a good day, night, evening, afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We are out of here.
Tom sucks.
1, 2, 3. StashMyComics.com is the leading free online interactive comic book database. Catalog your comics and track prices, character, and creator appearances. Follow the daily blog reviews, editorials, and a weekly podcast. Connect with other fans through member reviews and discussion forums. Keep abreast of site updates on Twitter at StashMyComics and find us on Facebook. StashMyComics.com, powered by Geek Energy.
Nailed it.